seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to James' epistle and chapter 1 and verse 25. The general epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The general epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Dear James was given a special anointing of heaven to speak to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. And there's some very vital things that were set forth in this first chapter. First of all, he expresses the great need of having a real religion. That religion that God is the author of and the finisher of. He says in the closing verse, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, but then this vital point, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And may we lay that to heart today. Secondly, he speaks of the great need of living vital faith, and coupled to it were those wondrous works of faith. Now we live in a solemn day where many rest on works. Works will never get us to heaven. But there is a wonderful work of faith. And as we read of Abraham, how he was given faith to offer up Isaac, and he obeyed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Not only had that faith been given by the Lord to take Isaac up to offer him, but faith was active. And he worked that wondrous work of faith, enabling Abraham to take up Isaac to offer him up before God. But then he speaks about the Word of God and the necessity of it. He says, here, wherefore layeth part all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That's a wonderful word. It's the only place in God's word that this is recorded, the engrafted word. And you know, it seemed very sweet to me, the engrafted word. Now, let us just pause a moment on that. You see, there were those among the 12 tribes that James was writing this letter to that knew the word in the letter of it. There's many today will know the word of God in the letter of it, but they don't know what it is to have the word engrafted. It's like, to use a simple illustration, and the one or two I would name, the first thing is this, those of course that know much about fruit and the trees as they grow. Now, some of the best apples are grown from grafted stock. The old men used to go and they used to take a crabapple store out of a hedge and dig it up, and they'd graft to it that fruit they wanted. And you see, the original crabapple is a vigorous growing stalk, but that which is engrafted into it will draw from that stalk all that the goodness it needs, and it will bring forth fruit. But that cannot be engrafted itself. It cannot do it itself. And this applies spiritually with the Lord's dear people. The easy believers and people of today, they say, oh, well, you can take that word and it suits your case and so on. But that's not engrafted. When it is engrafted, it is put in the heart of the child of God by the Lord, like the husbandman, the fruit owner, will put that particular fruit that he wants to grow on that that stalk, and it's engrafted in it, fixed there. Another way to look at it is this: it's implanted. You see, if you look the meaning of the word engrafted in Strong's Concordance, it speaks of it being implanted. And you know, I thought it's a wonderful thing. That's just what the Lord does with his word. He plants it in the sinner's heart. It's theirs. It's given to them by the Lord. They haven't just thought of it. The devil hasn't suggested it. They haven't taken it themselves. Is engrafted in the heart. And like the fruit tree, the only way you could really get rid of that which is engrafted is destroying the whole thing. And so it is spiritually. But you see, the devil will try and destroy that which God gives to his dear people, but he never will. It's impossible. So he says, and receive with meekness. Now, you see, the Lord, when he begins his work of grace in the sinner's heart, what does he do? He brings the old nature right down and he makes the sinner meek. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have meekness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, that which God has given and is engrafted in the heart, and it can never be destroyed. It's a wonderful thing that is, isn't it? And then he tells us the importance of it, which is able to save your souls. We cannot save ourselves. The apostle said, not of works lest any man should boast. The engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And have we got a word engrafted in our heart that we can rest on? We can build all our hope on what the Lord has given us. Let me use an illustration. You think of that beautiful word, it comes to one's mind, so I'll name it, and what the Lord said to Jeremiah. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Lord speaking, and he fastened that word. He implanted it in the heart of dear Jeremiah. And you think, if you look through the life of Jeremiah, all the places he had to come into, and the prison, and the rebelliousness of the people, and all the sin that there was in the nation, and how he had to prophesy so faithfully. That word stood him in good stead, not only before a holy God, but before the people. It was what God had grafted in his heart. And oh, the salvation there is in it, you see. Think of those precious words of the Saviour. When he spoke in John's Gospel, that beautiful word concerning his sheep. He says, doesn't he, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And then he goes further and he says this, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And it won't matter what Satan may do, or all his agents, they can never pluck this child of God out of the Lord's hands, or what he has given them. I'm thinking, as I arose this morning, of that beautiful word in Isaiah, my word, the Lord said, shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, there's a lot of our words that return void, don't they? But what the Lord has said will never return void. But to come down to our text, he says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And then he speaks these beautiful words in our text. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The first thing I'd like to look at is this. This law. He says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. This was not the law given by Moses, no, by the Lord to Moses on Sinai. Because that only brought bondage. What is in our text brings liberty. Secondly, it's not the law that is a moral law, though that will be fulfilled in the soul that looketh into the perfect law of liberty. What is this perfect law of liberty? Well, really, it's the gospel. It brings liberty. You see, the dear Saviour came into this world to set his people free. Some of them had been under the bondage of the law given by the Lord to Moses for many years. There are many today, especially in Israel, where they still rest under that ceremonial law. But, you see, there's no liberty in it. I thought in that sacred hymn, it seemed to drop in this morning, thinking of this text. In 134th hymn, he speaks this, the dear Mr. Brewer. He says, "But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress, and found I had no hiding place." And then this verse, "Indignant justice stood in view, to Sinai's fiery mount I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, 'This mountain is no hiding place.'" But then this beautiful verse, "Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared. She led me on with placid peace to Jesus as my hiding place." You see, there was no hiding place at Sinai, no hiding place under that law, was there? The wrath of God. But then, oh, this blessed hiding place there is in the dear Redeemer, where sinners convinced under that holy law of God will have to flee to. And he speaks in, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," the gospel. It's a joyful sound to sinners, and it brings liberty. But not only this, it speaks of God's holy word. The looking into it. That seemed very sweet to me yesterday. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. You see, in God's holy word, and the word is full of Christ from beginning to end, the blessed gospel of the dear Redeemer is precious to sinners. It brings salvation down. And they look into that perfect law. You think of the holy word of God. Let us just tarry a moment on that. You know, it won't matter what place you come into, whether convinced of sin, guilty before a holy God, where can the sinner go? They go to the word of God. Because in it, there's mercy for sinners. All there is. You think of those, if you read through the Gospels from Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and those many souls that obtain mercy. Look into the Word. You young people, if you want a word of direction, a word what to do in a matter, you look in the Word. It says, doesn't it? Whoso. And that's a very searching word. Are we among this whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty? Do we look into it? You think of it. How many times in great need in your soul or in your circumstance in your afflictions, in your troubles, and you look in the Word, and the Word is made life and power to you. And what does it bring? Liberty. Because it's full of Christ from beginning to end. And you know, there are those words that you will look into, as you look into the Word, and the Word, it immediately is life and power to you. And you never forget it. But there's another side I really want to begin with, and that is this. In looking into this perfect law of liberty, what will it reveal? Well, firstly, it will reveal to your poor heart and mine, if we're the true children of God, what poor, wretched, vile sinners we are. As you look into it, you see all the corruption there is in you. All the vileness, all the sin. Well, let me prove it to you from the Word of God. We think of the dear prophet Isaiah. And you go into chapter 6 and you will find the dear man, as he looks into this perfect law of liberty, what does he see? Two things. Firstly, the holiness of God. And we read this, and one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And then the second thing that the dear prophet saw was this, as he looked into that perfect law. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And then he tells us the reason why. "For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And you see, when you can look in the Holy Word and view the holiness of God, what will it reveal? Just like it did to Isaiah. "Lord, I'm unclean. I'm poor, I'm vile, there's no good in me." And you see, you've got to look into it. It's like, well, the dear servant of God used the illustration of looking into a glass. You look here immediately, you look into a mirror, you'll see what sort of person you are. We know that's only the outside, but God looketh at the heart. And some of us look, that are getting older now, we look in there and we realise our age. Because it shows it. That we're getting old and toward the end of our days. But you've got to look into it to see it. Man may say to you this and that, how you look, but you look into it yourself. And the same thing in looking into the Word of God, the law of liberty, looking into that Word, what does it reveal to you? Does it reveal, like it did to Isaiah, firstly, God's holiness? Secondly, what poor, vile creatures we are. And oh, the prophet knew it, didn't he, painfully? Do we? "Whoso then, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." Now there are two vital things here that seem to so rest upon me. First of all, how do we look into the Word? Is it just with our natural eye? Or is it with the eye of faith? Because this is of paramount importance. You know, sometimes the child of God goes in all their trembling state to the Word of God, and they look into it, and faith in them believes the Lord to speak. Oh yes. There are two things, and a personal experience on this, that I would just name. Not that one wants to speak of what we have experienced in it, but on two occasions, there have been others, but two come to one's mind that I shall never forget. I may have named them before, but back in December 1972, I was to go before the church at Ashwell to give my testimony. Well, we lived over 100 miles away before I took the pastorate there. And it was a terrible day of work-wise. The workload was so great and I didn't feel well in myself, and the devil said to me, well, what are you going to do? You won't be able to drive all those miles, and you won't be able to speak anything when you get there. Anyway, we loaded the car up and got the children, they were only small then, into the car. And you know, as I walked to go out the door, feeling the ends of the earth, I looked on the text calendar, it got the Word of God to me in it, and it was this, and I've never forgot it. People say the Word of God's not up to date. It was absolutely up to date that day. And as I looked at it, the Lord spoke it right into my soul, and I should never forget it. And it was this. Drive, slack not thy riding, except I bid thee. There were no cars in those days. But that was the word that the dear Shunammite woman said to Gehazi to go. Drive, slack not thy riding, except I bid thee. It was clear, you see. The second occasion was when I was exercised about joining the church in 1963. And it was a Saturday, and I had to milk the cows that day. And that Saturday afternoon, I went down to the field, you know, to get them in. And there was just this one cow down in the stream. She would not come out. And I had to walk all the way down across the field to get her. And as I got to the stream and looked into it, the Lord spoke audibly from heaven to me. These words. See, here is water. What doth hinder thee to be baptized? And you know, I looked, I said, Lord, there's all my sin, there's my unbelief, there's how will I be able to walk out this profession if I venture? How will I be able to speak to the church? But you see, the Lord removed it all. The mountains, I should never forget it, just flowed down. All those things that were hindering me were all gone. And I walked up across the field with this cow, and I went to the Word of God. And I said, Lord, if this is real and this is right, do declare from thy word what I've got to do. And I remember clear as anything, that was all those years ago, opening the word of God, and I let the book fall open. And in it, all I saw on the page were these words, and they were written in like gold across the page. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And how I milked those cows that Saturday afternoon, I could never tell you. But I didn't know whether I was in the earth or where I was. But you see, I had to look into the Word. And you see, when you're given faith to look for the Lord to speak, as you look into that perfect law of liberty, you see, there's been so many precious words that have set the Lord's people free. So not only do we need our natural eyes to look at the word, we need that eye of faith. And what with the eye of faith? It is to see Christ in it all. Oh, it will. And not only will it see Christ in it all, but it'll bring sweet liberty to your soul. Oh, it will. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And here our text speaks of it. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. You see, it brings liberty to sinners. Those weighed down and burdened by sin, and the load and weight is so great, and then the Lord may direct you, not only your natural eye, but the eye of faith, to that precious word, thy sins that are many are all forgiven thee. And if the Lord speak that word into your soul, poor soul, what will it bring? Complete liberty. The sin that troubles you all removed. There's another just point that drops in concerning faith, you see. Not only where you view and believe the Lord will give it to you, faith will embrace it. Oh, it will. It'll hold it. When the Lord, you see, speaks, faith in the sinner's heart embraces what the Lord says. And as you read the precious word of God and you look into it, you're seeing it, everything that you need. Oh, you will. That's a wonderful place, you know. Faith views the wonders God alone can do. Oh, it does. And it views the wonders and preciousness there is in the Word. You see, the natural man or the world or the ungodly, when they read the Word naturally, they read it just with their natural understanding, their natural eye. We know the Lord can use it. He can open the eyes of the blind. But to go to the Word, look into it. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. But this liberty. May the Lord favour yet many in these dark and solemn days with sweet liberty. You know, as I go around the churches, up and down the land, abroad too, there are many that are bound. They know the Lord, but the bondage they're in. The hymn writer said, didn't he, Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. What can set the sinner free? Well, the dear Saviour came to do that, didn't he? He says, and oh, may we know what it is. If the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. The precious Son of God. You think how he set Lazarus free. You think how he set the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, free from all the bondage of the Pharisaic way he'd been brought up, and set him free. You see, there's a wonderful liberty in the gospel. All there is. It sets burdened sinners free. And those that are bound to die by sin, by Satan, by our unbelief, by our own deceitful heart, bound by the world. Oh, that the Lord would come and set his people free. Say to the wicked jailer sin, loose him and let him go. You know, there's nothing like liberty. Free, you see. It's like a little child. You take it out somewhere, it's bound, it's nervous what to do. You bring it back home. Soon as it's in its own home, it knows its bounds, it's free. It can run around. It knows where it is. It's free. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, liberty. And may the Holy Spirit's my soul's desire that we might know more and more liberty at the throne of grace, pour out our heart before the Lord in prayer. Liberty in speaking of what the Lord has done for us. Liberty in the ministry. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to be free. And those of you that may need the Lord to come and set you free today, may the Lord hasten the hour. But I must leave it because of the time. But whoso looketh into the perfect law, it's a perfect law. Why? Because it's full of Christ. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And you know, that speaks beautifully concerning the dear Lord Jesus, that perfect man, suited to every sinner's case. Well, amen.